Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but don't you know.
Yes, we did. We started to burn many things we found. That's the wonderful Dora Williams singing the Solartopia song with Pete Seeger and David Burns, B-E-R-N-Z. We are back for another hour of the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We are going to talk today about the a move being made by some of us to have a common ground, common front, uniting of the movements against nuclear power and fracking. Don't frack nuke our Earth is what the title is, and it's something that's really got to happen. I'm just looking at a story from California about the impacts of fracking on California's water. What's left of it, I was just in California yesterday. I'm back in Ohio today. Unfortunately, let's see, 85 degrees in Southern California, 15 degrees in Central Ohio. I don't know what you think. We've got a good hour to go. We have Linda Seeley from San Luis Obispo, from the Mothers for Peace, one of the longest standing and most effective and greatest groups of people on this planet for fighting nuclear power. Linda, are you with us?
I'm here, Harvey. Hi.
Hi. How are you, Linda? You're in your kitchen. I'm in mine. It's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
And David Brown, are you there?
I am. Hey, Harvey, how are you?
Oh, great, David. It's wonderful. This is a miracle of modern communication, and we've got the three of us here at PRN with our wonderful folks in the New York studio blasting out to the world. And, David, I was inspired by you. I went to see you speak at the Unitarian Church in downtown San Francisco a week ago. You were speaking, you came up to speak after Mark Hertzgaard spoke, the great author of so much wonderful work on global warming. And you were very, very forceful talking about fracking, and you mentioned something that really resonated with me. You talked about talking with people in areas that had been fracked whose lives and health and property had been wrecked by fracking, and it really reminded me of my own experience in central Pennsylvania in 1980 after the accident in Three Mile Island. I went in, and a year after, I went in and interviewed people in their farmhouses, and their lives had been ruined by radiation from an accident that the nuclear industry to this day says harmed no one, which is a horrific lie. And I was just struck by your forcefulness and the clarity of your vision, and I thought maybe we should put together an alliance, the Don't Frack Nuke Our Earth Alliance, in coordination with people like Linda in San Luis Obispo. Tell us a bit about your work on fracking, if you would.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, I got into it. I've been kind of a justice advocate working on issues for years, but about 6 years ago I was living in New York at the time and started hearing about that our water was threatened and wanted to find out what that was about. And the more we found out about it, the more we just thought, this is absolutely nuts. And when we found out that the practice had been, that fracking had somehow been exempted from all of the hard-won key laws and provisions that were meant to keep us safe from fracking, so that's the Safe Drinking Water Act, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, that all these bills were hard-won and fought for to keep us safe from fracking, and so somehow have this crazy practice where they're injecting hundreds of thousands of pounds of chemicals. And we found out that that number is actually the mean average of chemicals, about 400,000 pounds of chemicals into the ground at about 15,000 pounds of pressure per square inch. Now, the strongest bone in my body is my femur, and that takes about 160 pounds of pressure per square inch to break the strongest bone in my body. Mm-hmm. So they're injecting 400,000 pounds of chemicals mixed with, you know, 1 to 8 million gallons of water at 100 times the amount of pressure it takes to break the strongest human bone in the body. And you just, you hear that, and it just doesn't pass the laugh test, you know. You just think, you know, all the things that can go wrong. And, in fact, we know that 5 to 6% of the well casings fail immediately upon drilling in the first year. And then over the course of 30 years, 50% of the well casings fail. So just by knowing this, we're putting these ticking time bombs into the ground that is just a disaster and a cancer cluster waiting to happen for future generations. And so in New York, we started hearing about this, and we, everybody that heard about it just felt like they needed to do something. And so we just created this grassroots movement that, you know, eventually has led to what we just got in New York, which is a complete prohibition or a ban on fracking on the basis of health impacts that was created by the Department of Health of New York State, who made that recommendation to the commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation after they studied the issue and the health impacts of fracking. So that's what got me into this. And then based on that, you know, there weren't, unfortunately, a whole lot of big green organizations really diving into this. And in fact, unfortunately, at that point, Sierra Club had taken $26 million from Chesapeake Energy. And so there wasn't really a whole lot of national organizations on the ground working on this. So we had to really build coalitions between grassroots organizations and some national organizations. You know, Food and Water Watch has been there, and a few others have been there. And we really built power through some more unconventional ways by bringing doctors and nurses and sustainable business like winemakers and brewers, and but also bringing together local activists and people that were working on a whole host of different issues. And that even includes working with some of the anti-nuclear activists in the state of New York. And so we found that this sort of power building was the way for us to move forward and build success. And so along the way, we created Americans Against Fracking. It's about 300 organizations across the United States fighting for a ban. And now I'm in California fighting it here and pushing Jerry Brown to put a ban on it and all of these other toxic extraction techniques that are being employed.
Fantastic. So now let's tie this in. Linda Seeley, you are a resident of San Luis Obispo, California, and you have been fighting the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant since the 1970s. Do you see any coalescence between the anti-nuclear movement and the anti-fracking movement? David mentioned here that part of the David, you did unite with some anti-nuclear groups. Is that correct?
Sure, absolutely. We did. We worked with a lot of folks. I mean, it was a lot of the folks that were involved with, you know, with Pete Seeger and doing a lot of the work that, you know, he was doing. And so those folks from that kind of Hudson River area. And so we did. We worked with a lot of the folks that and had that kind of dual interest. I mean, we're really looking at this is just an energy issue. And we can either move 100% to harvesting passive forms of energy like solar and wind and tidal, forms of energy that are not damaging to our planet to the extent that these other ones like nuclear or like fracking or, you know, any of these other forms of fossil fuels, coal. It's just we're coming to a time where it's like, no, we shouldn't be making money off any form of energy. We, as the people who are going to have our future generations born onto this planet, really need to start making decisions for ourselves about the future of this planet and what it looks like. And big corporations and conglomerates should not be deciding our energy policy, especially when it comes with toxicity and the element of some sort of disaster or danger or what have you. And so we're really standing for a clean, truly clean energy economy, rather than these damaging, toxic, old, outmoded technologies that hold within them catastrophe for our communities and our lives.
Linda, as an anti-nuclear activist, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, these extractive industries, they're basically all the same. You extract uranium out of the earth to make nuclear power. You extract gas out of the earth to, you know, and with fracking and with oil. And down here we have actually oil shale, and we have a very huge part right under our county reserve of oil shale called the Monterey Formation, and they are desperately trying to start fracking it here, and they haven't yet as far as we know, but we're not absolutely sure. But this Saturday, a lot of us are going up to Oakland on a bus to the big climate rally in Oakland, and demanding that Governor Brown follow Governor Cuomo's lead and sign a bill against fracking here in California. The San Andreas Fault runs right through this Monterey Shale formation. And the San Andreas Fault is about 43 miles from Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. And it's been proven scientifically that fracking causes earthquakes. It's been proven throughout the United States. And here we're in a very, very high earthquake area. We've got a nuclear power plant with 2,200 tons of highly radioactive waste stored at an intersection of 13 earthquake faults, two of them major. One of them, the Hosgree Fault, is an extension of the San Andreas Fault. So the fracking here could cause a nuclear meltdown. And so the incentive for us to join together with the no fracking movement, together, the No Nukes movement and the No Fracking movement, is very, very high, because we don't, because it's just so dangerous, and there are so many different ways we can get energy, and it's ridiculous that we're trying to pull this substance out of the earth where it belongs. It's, to me, it's the, like oil, or the, you know, what do you call it, that you put in your car to make it run more smoothly. It has a purpose inside of the earth under.
Oh, it's like a lubricant.
It's like a lubricant to help things move a little bit more smoothly. But we, you know, if you just can't do the kind of stuff that we do and expect not to have disastrous consequences.
Melinda, how close is the nearest fracking operation to the two reactors at Diablo Canyon? Is there fracking going on near to Diablo Canyon?
The thing is, it's not just the fracking. It's also the injection wells where they take the fracking fluid, or they take maybe some of this, you know, they're now using hydrofluoric acid in wells in California, doing acid matrix fracking, or they're doing acidizing. And they pour the hydrofluoric acid right down the well bore to literally melt away the rock to get this kind of goopy, thick oil that's attached to these rock formations. And so it's also taking, when they take that wastewater out of the ground, they have to have some place to put it. Well, it's not just that fracking has been connected to earthquakes, but the injection wells are actually the thing of most concern, because they actually are finding that what that is doing is essentially, because of the different surfactants and things like that they have in the fracking fluids, that it's actually is lubricating these fault lines, and that's actually what is causing the stimulation. So we're looking at that being the cause of the earthquakes in Oklahoma, which didn't really have any earthquakes before, and now it's having more than the state of California, which is, of course, we all know, those of us that live here, it's a very earthquake-prone state. Same thing with Colorado. And so we'd have to look and see, but there are thousands of Class 2 injection wells all over the state of California, and I can guarantee you that there are some in that region. I'm not sure exactly how far away, and I would have to look at it, but it is quite a number of Class 2 injection wells. So fracking and Class 2 injection wells are definitely in the region. But, you know, it's definitely, this whole thing is to be seriously concerned about, because again, these fault lines are all interconnected. We know that the Hayward fault is, you know, influenced and connects with the San Andreas fault, right? Which connects with all of these other faults. So destabilizing one part and literally blasting apart bedrock with, you know, this water, chemical, sand mixture, is likely to, or could have effects in other places just by nature of the interconnectivity of the subterranean levels.
God, it's insane.
Harvey, yeah, the other thing is about our drought. They inject these wells. I think it's like 900,000 gallons per well, if I'm not mistaken. And that water comes from California. And then after it's fouled with all these chemicals and hydrofluoric acid, it's no longer usable. We're already in the worst drought we've ever had in the history of record keeping in California, and here they are doing this with the little water that we have. It's my mother, if she were still alive today, she would just want to put them in the corner. Yes. It's terrible, the fact that they're doing these things. I can hardly comprehend it.
Well, we have become a vampire species. I mean, human beings are just, you know, we have our fangs in Mother Earth gouging every, you know, calorie of energy that we can take out of her body and completely ignoring. Maybe that's why vampire movies are so popular these days, because we are vampires.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, Harvey, I think we have one job to do. You know, our job here on this planet is to steward the planet for future generations. That's our one job. And we can't, at this point, we can't even get that right. And it's just simply because we have allowed, and I think we need to take responsibility for this, we have allowed creepy people who want to do like wacko things to make decisions for us. And that was our mistake. But it doesn't mean that it has to continue to be our mistake. And that's why there's a critical nature to, you know, getting people to Oakland, California, this Saturday, February 7th at 12 noon or 11:30 at Frank Ogawa Plaza downtown. To turn out, so we can say we've had enough of these wackos deciding crazy energy policy that's killing our children, you know. And this is where we, you know, where we're drawing the line, and we're about to see a movement erupt beyond anything we've ever seen on this planet. And it's because we're now just fighting for our survival. While these insane, you know, uranium mining and frackers and oil drilling and tar sands and deep oil and deep ocean drilling and, you know, all of that is going on, you know, they're trying to continue to do their business. This is the business they know and they've developed. And so they're literally fighting for the lives of their business, right?
And we're fighting for the planet.
Right, and we're fighting for our lives, you know, and to, at this point, this is an issue of survival of the planet. The scientists agree. Climate change is an issue, and we just had a Pew poll that came out that said 70% of the scientists agree that fracking is a bad idea. Well, guess what? Those 30% of the scientists, guess who they're taking money from, right?
No
but
kidding.
We, you know, it's we're fighting for our lives, and we should just take it as such. And that's why it's, you know, as a friend of mine, Sandra Steingraber, says, it is now time for everyone to join in and play in the Save the World Symphony. And she says, I don't know what particular musical instrument you play, but you need to play it with all of your heart and find your place in that score and make sure that we play this song loud, you know, and that's where we are. This is survival. and we're all rising up to save this planet. It's too beautiful for us to let it die at the hands of a bunch of greedy wackos who don't care about their children.
Linda, what do you want to say about that? So we're coming here, you know, one of the raps against our general movement is that that there's no agreement between the people who are fighting fracking and the people who are fighting nuclear power. And, because allegedly, you know, what the industry likes to say is that somehow nuclear power helps with global warming, which is about as bitter a crock as I've ever heard. Linda, you want to comment on that?
Well, it's so absurd. It's the old divide and conquer scheme, you know, but we're not going for that anymore, Harvey. That's very yesterday. We are all united in saving our blessed mother, and that's our work. And we know
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, nuclear is about as ungreen as any kind of power that ever existed. It is. I don't know. Yeah, you can't compare. It leaves a toxic legacy for the next umpteen million years that we don't know what to do with. We have nowhere to put it. We have no idea of how to decontaminate it. We don't know how to store it properly. And yet they are allowed to keep on making it and making it. And it's like building a big hotel, but not putting any bathrooms in. And that, you know what, is just piling up round and round and round it. And it's, immoral. It's immoral technology, just like fracking.
Let's proclaim that the Don't Frack Nuke Alliance here, and Don't Frack Nuke Our Earth Alliance, so that we can finally join up these two movements. There seems to be a generation gap, which is fine. The anti-nuclear movement in general is older. We've been with this issue a long time. Linda and I, go back to the 70s with nuclear power. David, you're a little younger than we are, to put it mildly. And most of the fracking movement seems to be younger than the anti-nuclear movement. I think it's time we join forces. What do you think?
Well, for sure. But, you know, you should have come to some of our events in New York, you know, because you'll see definitely the young people were there and present, the student movement, and was doing a lot there in really impressive ways. And the Energy Action Coalition, which is this coalition of groups, has definitely been engaged in the fracking movement. But I'll tell you, a couple of my grassroots organizations that I was a part of, giving a shout out to United for Action there, you know, those are folks made up of a lot of retired folks that just had time on their hands and thought, hey, I want to do something productive with it. And these are folks that have worked on, the anti-nuke movement and other movements in the past, you know. So this is really like, you know, I'll tell you, we just did this tour coming up the state of California. We stopped in like 8 different places. We started in San Diego, Los Angeles, Oxnard, Santa Barbara, stopped in Kern County in Delano, California, San Benito, Oakland, and then just finished up in Chico, and then after that had a press conference in Sacramento. And our whole message was that there is uniting, is breaking down the silos and uniting against dangerous energy policy that is destroying the world for our children. Mm-hmm. And so we had people talking about renewable energy. We had people that were talking about urban oil drilling, which is not fracking. And we had other people from Just Transition Alliance talking about what's it going to look like for jobs and workers. You know, mm-hmm. we're taking on all of these issues in a very holistic way, so that because we don't really have time for, I think, any sort of limitations or boundaries of our groups anymore, but need to just be working in concert with one another against it, so that if there is some sort of anti-nuke event happening in a local area, that we all need to try and recruit for that, get people out. And the same goes true for any other thing that we're working on, and especially standing in solidarity with our workers. You know,
absolutely.
Our workers sometimes get a bad rap, and even the workers that work in the oil industry, you know, these are, you know, men and women that just want to make lives for their children, and we need to regard them very highly too. Our beef is not with the people that are working on the drill rigs. Our beef is with the people that are allowing this crazy policy to exist in the first place, this toxic policy to exist in the first place. And so our solidarity is with everyone except for the people that are making these crazy policy decisions and trying to, you know, push these stupid practices forward. And so I think that that's it. You know, I think that it now is a time where we stand together as one and we say we are here to serve, you know, the love in our hearts and the future generations that have yet to be born who deserve to know the beautiful world that we have known. And it is up to us to deliver that. And, you know, crazy, you know, corporations be damned. You know, we need to take these decisions back into our own hands.
Linda, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, David. Your words are music to my ears, and I am playing in that orchestra that you're talking about, and I see all the people around me here in San Luis Obispo becoming so activated because we have a very big anti-fracking movement here, and we also have, they're trying to bring the Bakken tar sand, or that Bakken oil to a refinery through our community here.
Uh-huh.
And those, what do they call them? Those exploding trains, you know?
The bomb trains, yep.
Yeah. And we have a big movement getting together around that. And we had last week, Harvey was here, we had a nuclear-free California meeting here in San Luis Obispo where people from all over California came, and you know, from different parts of the country too. We had over 100 people here to try to devise a strategy to shut down Diablo Canyon. And among those people were the anti-fracking leaders who are totally standing shoulder to shoulder with us as we are with them. So it's not different movements. It's a movement to preserve the sacredness of life is what it is, all over the world, all over. Anything that we humans touch has to be brought around to being regenerative and to not harming and, in fact, repairing. And by the way, we could have a job for every single able-bodied person on this whole planet if only our governments would decide they want to repair the damage that they have complicitly been cooperating in by the corporations and charging the corporations the taxes that they need to pay and not giving subsidies to the oil and gas and nuclear industries and using that money to clean up the mess that they've made. We could restore our beautiful planet. So we got to figure out how to do it.
Well, how do we do it? David, what's the strategy that's going to work here to stop fracking and shut the nuclear power industry?
You know, I think we just need wins at this point because I think wins, you know, people don't take action because I think that people have been lulled into this submission. And I think things like television are a part of it and people that are glued to the you know, the negative news cycle, you know, the disparaging news cycle, and that are lost in other things. But, you know, I think that people have been lulled into this submission. They think that there's nothing they can do. Why take action? That, you know, the corporations win anyway, you know. And so what we've seen, though, is that, like, so, you know, a friend of mine, Jose Bravo, works for this thing called the Just Transition, but he was involved you know, a number of years ago in getting the ban on the flame retardants in furniture, right, which was a big thing here in the state of California. And a report just came out 3 weeks ago that said there are more birds and there are more fish in the San Francisco Bay now than there were 10 years ago, and they're attributing this to the removal of flame retardants.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a win, right? And that's an inspiring win that was done by people simply saying, hey, this is really toxic and bad. They organized, you know, they got the firefighters involved, and the firefighters did actually, you know, these tissue testing with the folks, and they found that their bodies were, like, laden with these flame retardants, which are toxic.
And so they organized and they got a win. Well, the same thing happened in New York, right? Well, we organized, we got a win, right? We did it on the basis of the health impact. And so what we need to do, keep doing, is we need to keep telling these stories of these wins and say, hey, everybody, you know what? It's not inevitable that life is going to be destroyed. And you can really have hope even though the world is a really dark place right now. And all you really have to do is do something so that if you say that something is a bad thing, you need to realize those words, right? Because just saying like fracking is bad or nukes are bad or whatever, you're not actually putting that into action. And so you're still a part of the problem. But when you actually say like fracking is bad or nukes are bad or this energy policy stinks, and then you actually do something, and you know what? I'm going to turn out to this rally, or I'm going to call Governor Brown, or I'm going to show up to this anti-nuke thing, or whatever it is. Then you're putting your convictions into action, and you're becoming realized. And that's how we're going to do this, is we're all going to become realized together. And so it's just telling those stories so that those who've been reasonably hesitant, right, because there hasn't been a lot of light in the world, to just give them reason to believe again and say, hey, you know, all is not lost, and if you step up now, you know, we'll make sure that you help to deliver us a big win and that we push back on this, and one win at a time is how we're going to do it, you know. So let's ban fracking in California. Let's get these the nuclear power plants closed. Let's, you know, Jesus, we're going to have to find something to do with this waste. Nobody's ever had, you know, found that solution, right? But we're going to have a lot of cleanup to do. It's like you said, you know, but little by little, just replicating wins is how we're going to do it. And it's just by pushing back on these, the worst offenders, really, I think, is how we're going to win. You know, we're going to have to thank the people who are really doing the most damage. And that often makes others behave better and really realize that the writing is on the wall. Toxic energy is over. Renewable energy and clean energy is now. And you either get with the program or you just get left behind. So that's how we're going to get there.
Related to what you just said, David, another part for people to look at is this incredible sense of friendship and support and energy and unity and love that happens when you get involved in a movement to save your mother. And that's what happened last weekend at our New Creek, California meeting. People who hadn't met before met and created bonds, and there's a tremendous feeling of support right now in our state with this energy of this positive energy that was generated there in this quest to figure out how we're going to, you know, we as Don Quixotes are going to slay the dragon. The other thing is oh, wait, I forgot. Never mind. I was
going to
say.
You know, David, you said a great thing to me in San Francisco at the UU Church there at Mark Hertzgard's talk. You said, we didn't come to lose. And, I started, and Linda started in the 1970s. In 1974, Richard Nixon said there would be 1,000 nuclear plants. I say this all the time. It's kind of a mantra, but it's true. 1,000 nuclear plants in the United States by the year 2000 were promised by Richard Nixon. And we're well beyond the year 2000. In the year 2000, there were 104, and there are now 99, and the number's going down. And so both of us have been personally involved in many victories over nuclear power in the last 40 years. In fact, the first reactors that I was involved in confronting at the town of Montague, Massachusetts, we defeated. They were never built. They never even brought in the bulldozers. Where they wanted to build those two reactors, you can go lie down on the grass and look up at the sky, and it's undisturbed. And so I know that you were involved in the victory just solidified over fracking in New York State. Do you want to tell us a bit about how you won that?
Sure. Well, you know, it was the win in New York was it's historic and really exciting. And, you know, we had folks that were working in environmental organizations and, you know, prominent ones that are like, you know, household names that were telling us that we were never going to keep fracking out of New York State when we first started working on it. And when we basically just said, thanks so much for your opinion, and we stopped sharing it, you know, or just go like, keep it to yourself, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're not going to roll over before like the battle has even occurred. Like, it was just unbelievable that people were trying to tell us that we had to live with poisoned water. You know, like, you've got to be kidding me. An environmentalist, right? Which tells you why we've had so few wins in the past 20 mm-hmm. years. And a lot of it's just the corporate funding that happens in the environmental movement, where they are just, they keep watering down their message and taking what they can get, you know, crumbs at the table. And so it's, you know, for us, it was just organizing. And so it was faith leaders. It was the wineries and the brewers. It was the different, you know, it was the fishermen. Fishermen Against Fracking came out, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to go fly fishing in a river that they've been fracking upstream from, you know. And in, you know, all of the snowmobilers, they don't want their snowmobiling area crisscrossing with lots of pipelines that are going to damage their, you know, so it's, you dig into these things and you start finding, you know, wow, how about that? You know, ground level ozone that always accompanies fracking kills grapevines. So literally it was like, the wine industry in the Finger Lakes or the frackers, which one do you want? And so we just kept finding those alliances of, you know, the beer makers came out, the some of the other, you know, the organic farmers, the CSAs, the everyone that had an investment for clean air, clean water, or healthy food, or sustainable economies and jobs stepped up. And so they all existed, but we just found a way to bring everyone into the same room together to have a common conversation. And then we just got people to step up. And, you know, and so that's how we're going to have to just continue to do it. It's just put together like-minded groups of people, because, you know, we don't have to accept that you know, these things that these NGOs are telling us that we have to live with, you know, they obviously have forgotten that they were advocates, have gotten into deal cutting to such an extent that they're not no longer representing the true interests of life on this planet. And so that's when it's a great opportunity, though, that hole is a great opportunity for people who truly care to step in and fight with all their hearts. And that's what I did. Before, I mean, I've always been kind of a volunteer organizer, but I used to run an events company in New York City, you know, and, you know, a decade and a half ago, that's what I was doing for a living. And I finally just came to this place where the need was so urgent, and I had my own kind of spiritual moment of consciousness where I realized that it was my aha moment where I said, aha, I need to stop serving myself. And I need to get with this planet, because you know what? Those future generations, they can't advocate for their needs. They don't have a voice in the matter. But they can't come through the ages and say, help us, right? But we have to hear that cry, and we have to, I mean, that is a five-alarm fire that we have to step up for. You know, the beauty in all of this is that there is a synergy that when you do truly live your life in a connected way with realizing your words into action, you become a part of these white blood cells protecting Mother Earth. You become something that becomes a part of protecting creation. And so you become a part of all things. And it's It's like the kind of like one of the ultimate ways that I think anyone can live their life on this planet is to be a part of this very kind of sacred, you know, as you said, right, protecting this, the sanctity of life or the sacred nature of the life on this planet. And to be a part of that is like kind of the ultimate existence. And so we really invite everyone who, you know, hears that call inside of their hearts to step up now, you know, and get involved, because, you know, it's ours to win or lose. And like, you know, you said, Harvey, I didn't come to lose.
Well, Linda, how about you? David, you're so incredibly eloquent. I did. You. I hope you're okay. It's 5:40. I don't know if you have to go.
I can hang up for a few minutes. Maybe. I can hang up for a few minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. Well, we'll go to the top of the hour. Now, Linda, I want to. You know, you've been an activist for a long time. David, do you have children?
I don't. I have nephews, but I think one's on the way. I think. We're trying to adopt, so I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay, well, obviously you've adopted the Mother Earth, and you're here advocating for future generations. Linda, you and I are grandparents. What is this for you?
Well, my great-grandchildren and their great-grandchildren are in it for me, Harvey, and we know, I mean, what David just said isn't really at all high in the sky, because all of the children who will ever be here on Earth are actually located here right now, because they are in the reproductive organs of those young people who are out there right now. And these young people have that their sperm and their eggs inside of them. And those are the future beings. And before a baby, I'm a midwife. I've been a midwife for 37 years.
And before a baby, you were involved in about 500 births. Is that correct?
No, about 2,000.
Oh my God! Fantastic.
Yeah. And the eggs are actually inside of a little baby girl before she is born. All of the eggs she will ever have are inside of her. So you can say that all of those future generations, the DNA, all the DNA that is going to be here is here now. And so our job is to protect that DNA, and our job is to understand that we as elders in our various communities that we hold a very significant responsibility to protect the ones who haven't been born yet. And we have a practice that we can do of actually communicating with those future beings if we want to, where we have the capacity in our imagination to take the place of a future being and to observe what's going on here on Earth. And we can make those intelligent imaginal connections with the ones that haven't been born yet. And it's really useful to us to do that so that we don't feel so isolated. And we know that we're involved in a process that's billions of years old, and God willing, will continue for millions of years hence. So it's not really about us. It's about everything and everyone that will be here. And one thing I wanted to mention about Diablo Canyon, back to I was thinking about this, David, when you were talking about organizing around your water. Our water here at Diablo Canyon, the water of the Pacific Ocean, is billions and billions of fish are killed every year by Diablo Canyon's once-through cooling system that sucks in 2.5 billion gallons of water every day and pushes it back out into the ocean superheated and devoid of any life. And so this is right here is an organizing fulcrum that we can use, and we plan to use it because it's because our fisheries are so overtaxed, and Diablo Canyon is responsible for 80% of the loss of sea life along the California coast. And it's already being diminished in great quantities. And so this is an opportunity for us not only to save sea life, but to help shut down this destroyer of life that's so aptly named.
David, Linda, your organization is the Mothers for Peace. Can you give your website for that and what contact information?
MothersForPeace.org. Very easy. And we have a Facebook page that we update many times a day.
And David, what is your... You have two organizations on your card.
Yeah. So I am doing... I do double duty with Americans Against Fracking. I spend the majority of my time these days working on Californians Against Fracking issues. So it's Californians Against Fracking. .org and AmericansAgainstFracking.org, and you can email me at organizers, plural, at CaliforniansAgainstFracking.org, and I get all of those emails.
And Linda, what is your email connection?
Well, you can email, we have a place at the Mothers for Peace website, it says contact us, and my spokesperson Jane Swanson and I get all of those emails and we respond to every single one.
You know, and I just want to say, if I can't, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, David, please. You're great radio guests.
Linda, you're fantastic. and I just wanted to comment just a little bit on what Linda was saying is that, you know, she's right. This isn't about us. Again, we have one job to do. It is steward this planet, and we need to do everything we can to do our primary job here. Because how indulgent would it be for us to lose the world for a 10-year or 20-year energy supply? You know, amongst the generations, the thousands and potentially millions of years of life on this planet, how selfish would we be to have such a big fossil fuel and dangerous energy fuel party that it wrecked the world for all of the future generations to come. I know that human beings are not that selfish. I know that we are not that ugly. But we have to now demonstrate to this planet that we are not those ugly people that would do such a thing to our future generations and that would do such a thing to life itself. The giver of life and to the spirit which so many people say they believe in. Well, it's now time to stand up and demonstrate to that spirit, that creator, whatever that is, whatever you view that to be, if you call that God or creator or Mother Earth and Father Sky, whatever it is, right, that spiritual thing, it is now time to demonstrate to that spiritual power that we are not that selfish, that we would destroy the world for future generations just so we could have a big old party of glitz and glamour, you know,
right.
and we can do that, but it's only through action that things are actually proven true. Our words ring hollow when they are not backed up by conscious, demonstrable evidence that what we say is true. And so that's where we are now. And so if people step up, then we get to win this sucker. And, you know, I think it's Linda's job and Harvey, it's obviously your job and my job to make sure that people do that and make sure that we stay consistent and we are those leaders because we can all be leaders in this fight to save the planet. And we sure need them to pop up now. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Linda, let us see what you have.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. It's time, you know, it's like, batter up. It's that time is now. We can't, this thing is in motion and it's time for us to do whatever we can, in any way we can. And we all have talents. You know, when you look around at the people you know and love, the talent that shines out of them is you know, it's magnificent. And if we can, I mean, I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV, but I heard a lot about the Super Bowl the other day. I think, yeah, the Super Bowl. And I heard that there were like commercials on the Super Bowl that millions and millions of people watched and were voting on about what was the best commercial on the Super Bowl, and the one that won was for Budweiser beer. And I was just blown away when I heard that, you know, here we have, you know, our life in the balance, and the most important thing to people is watching the Super Bowl, and we need to harness that energy, that fun, that excitement, and be generative with that, and help people understand that the most exciting thing you can do in your life is to give yourself to life and to the future generations. And I, you know, it's a challenge, because I think that people's heads are kind of wrapped around their TVs, pretty much. But I don't know.
It has
to be a winnable thing.
Can we, Lynn Seeley and San Juan Obispo and David Brown, are you in San Francisco now? David?
I'm in Oakland. Yes, I'm in Oakland.
Okay, so let's talk about a joint conference between the fracking and the anti-nuclear movement. The anti-fracking, anti-nuclear movement. The first don't frack nuke our Earth get together. Somewhere in California, maybe like in May. Give us time because we need to make a statement. You know, these two movements have been operating in parallel. And I'm gonna print up some bumper stickers that say don't frack nuke our Earth, just to get the ball rolling. And if we can call a conference, just for a day or a weekend, somewhere in California, because that's where I'm talking to you guys. Maybe in May when my semester is over here in Ohio, and just make the statement, you know, and get everybody to know each other, that we are moving to a solartopian Earth, to a green-powered Earth, that we don't want anything further to do with King Kong, coal, oil, nukes, and gas. And we are moving together to shut down these two industries so that we can open the door for the industry that works in harmony with the Earth. So I'm going to propose to you two guys, and we can move it further ahead, you know, that we have this well-publicized joint get-together somewhere in California, maybe in San Luis or in the Bay Area, and make that statement.
I love that idea.
Yeah, are you down with that, David?
I'm definitely down with it. You know, I'm totally down with it. I mean, it's definitely its time clearly has come, and I also want to leave space for all of those other communities that don't fit into those two particular words that are suffering as a result of dangerous energy policy too. So urban oil drilling, you know, there are folks that are living next to either acidized wells or just even conventional oil drilling in Los Angeles, whose kids are getting sick and, you know, nosebleeds and, you know, their hair is falling out and, you know, skin rashes and trouble breathing and asthma and all these other things. And so there are so many people that are suffering from this. So I think that definitely the, you know, anti-frack nuke alliance, you know, is a fantastic one. And I want to also leave space for all of the people that are suffering from cradle to grave. You know, I mean, obviously with nukes, it's not just the power plant, right? But it's the transmission of those materials, that uranium, and it's the mining of uranium. Well, the same with fracking, right? Fracking is pulling out the oil that gets transferred either in the pipelines that we've seen burst, right? A couple just happened when Montana, Wyoming, that these spills are ruining our sacred places in our beautiful, pristine places, or it's transferred in an oil train, which releases volatile organic compounds and could be like the Loch McGonick train that blew up a year and a half ago in Canada that killed whatever it was, 48 people, and literally like just kind of obliterated the whole downtown area of this town, right? So you don't want one of those blowing up. Or the refineries that are at the end of this, like in those in Benicia or the ones that or are in San Luis Obispo because they want to build this rail spur, which Linda was talking about. They want to bring the Bakken crude through California all the way down the coast to do this rail spur so that it can be processed at this Phillips 66 plant and in the San Luis Obispo area. And again, cradle to grave, it's not just the nukes, it's not just the frack, but it's all the different communities that are affected by these toxic forms of energy that are suffering. I mean, and they're suffering at all points. And you know, forgive me, but damn it to hell, all of our elected officials are taking money from these jerks, and so they're not saying anything about it. So there are these horrific impacts that are happening on communities right now all across the United States, and the elephant in the room is being completely ignored because he's buying everybody off. And it's a, it's a freaking crime. It's a crime against America. We don't need terrorism to come out from outside because it is already here. And it is called the energy industry. And it is demolishing our communities.
I agree with everything you said. Linda, you want to jump in? We only got a couple minutes left. Real quick, Linda, give your contacts and David yours.
Mothersforpeace.org. And I want to say that the PG&E, our local power provider that runs our nuclear power plant, is the same one that blew up 38 houses and killed 8 people in San Bruno, and has been running in lockstep with the California Public Utilities Commission, who haven't regulated them all at all, and they've been in bed together. And Michael Peavy has just been kicked out because he's a crook, out of the Public Utilities Commission, and all of the Public Utilities Commission should be swept away right now, and reappointment should be made of honest people. That probably won't happen, but it'll happen
if we make it happen.
It's a shame.
As David has said, we didn't come here to lose.
That's true.
That's right.
True.
Okay, so listen, you guys, you both are incredibly great guests. And David, I thank you for staying for the full hour, Linda, both of you.
Thank you.
Again, Linda, with the Mothers for Peace and Fighting Diablo Canyon and San Luis Obispo, David, with a number of anti-fracking organizations. We are going to have, in May or June, a conference in California, the first Don't Frack Nuke, Our Earth Conference, and we will tie these two movements together. We'll shut Diablo Canyon. We'll stop the fracking and all the other extractive insanity of King Kong, coal, oil, nukes, and gas, and we'll save our Mother Earth. How's that sound?
Sounds
fantastic. Yeah.
All right, great. So listen, I think we're near the end here. I want to thank our crew in New York City so much for maintaining this show. This is the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We're going to go out in a few seconds. David, I don't know if you've heard this song. It's the Solartopia song, written by Pete Seeger and David Burns, along with me. Actually, all I did was suggest the idea, and they took it from there. The song also with Dar Williams and the Rivertown Kids. This has been a fantastic show. I will put it up on the web. You'll both get the URLs, and we'll spread them far and wide. How does that sound? All right, thank you both. Fantastic. I look forward to our gathering in May or June, and no nukes and no fracking. See you next time.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we've